Tony is a doctor, he's a paediatrician, and he's just finishing his PhD as well, so soon he will be doctor. He's a motorcyclist, he loves curry, he's a scout leader, and Tony, your subject tonight is Jesus, Jesus the truth in a scientific world, Jesus the truth in a scientific world. After Tony's spoken for 10 minutes or so, we're going to get two other folks to join us at the front in a panel, and you'll have an opportunity to ask any question you want. So, Tony, over to you first. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm not entirely sure how to follow that CV up, but suddenly it's all true. Yes, I've been asked to talk about Jesus, the truth in a scientific world, and increasingly I think the world is looking to science to provide as many of the answers as we can get. And it seems to be part of the reason for that is people increasingly want facts. I was talking to my friend Rob on the way across in the car, and he said that even if you look at the adverts on the telly today, they tend to be quite scientific. So he was talking about L'Oreal shampoo adverts, which clearly when you look at him, he doesn't buy that product. But they use a lot of statistics in that you know, science shows that it's proven to improve your hair and that sort of thing. So we tend to like facts. We like science to try and prove things. We want to know what the truth is through science. And if you kind of have a belief or something that can't be proven through science, I think increasingly what I feel is society is tending to belittle that a bit. I was at the Edinburgh Festival a few years ago, and I went to lots of stand-up comedy, and it was amazing how every set I went to had some form of comedy that mocked, well, mainly Christianity. They didn't seem to want to mock other faiths. So yes, we want science, and we like things that we can prove, but society is also a little bit two-faced, because there is also a cynicism about science as well. So you might see that in the way that people react to climate change evidence, where people are a bit cynical. Is it really happening? I'm not sure I believe the evidence. Look at Jeremy Clarkson for evidence that is true. Or even if you look at the MMR vaccine, you know, there's lots of research in hundreds of thousands of children, particularly in Europe and California, that show the MMR vaccine is safe. It's a topic that's dear to my heart as a paediatrician. And yet, despite that, there are some people, and there might be people in this room, who kind of almost see a conspiracy theory that maybe it isn't safe, based on the research of one man who, it's fair to say, has been discredited and was fraudulent and studied only 12 children. But people focus on that piece of research rather than the hundreds of thousands of children that have been researched around the world. And so I think, yes, we like facts and we like science to prove things, but we really only like science to prove things that kind of confirm what we believed in the first place. And that's kind of how I see sort of society and science working today. And I think it's fair to say, and I talk very personally about my research and my experience of science over the last sort of 10 years or so, that science is very flawed. And I'm sorry to any chemistry teachers or biology teachers here that might be offended by that. But it is flawed, and science is flawed because it's driven by people who are flawed, like myself. And when I look at my research is involving MRI scans of the brains of babies being born premature, and then looking at whether those scans can predict which of those babies will get cerebral palsy and learning difficulties later in life. So when I set up the research, we thought of that theory, and we felt quite smug at doing that. And we thought, yeah, let's test that. So we designed some methods to test that. And then we tried to carry out those methods, and we've collected the data, and I'm about to finish analysing the data, and I'm going to come up with some great conclusions. And then I'm going to write it up, well, I think they're going to be great. I'm going to write it up in some journal articles and go to conferences around the world and try and make a name for myself. And based on that, it's sad, but it's actually true, I'm an ambitious person. And based on that, I'm going to do some more research in the future. But because I've made a name for myself and I'll be well known, it'll be much easier to get all the money in to do more ambitious research later. And the problem with that, and that is honestly true, that's how it's worked, is that every step along that process is completely flawed. So am I asking the right question? Are we looking at even the right test? you know, we design the methods, and when I look back at how we've done the research, I can see there are some complete howlers in what we've done, and we really should have done things differently, particularly around when we decided to scan the babies. And also, we had good intentions, we were going to do it in this particular way, and actually the reality is you can't do it in that way, because parents will kind of go, I'm not coming on a Tuesday, I'm terribly sorry, I go and have lunch with my friend, or the scanner breaks down, or the NHS says there's somebody that needs that scan, so get lost, you can't have the slot. So the way that you do the research is flawed, because that's what life is like. I also know that collecting the results is going to be flawed as well. So I know that when I've been typing it into my Excel spreadsheet that I've made mistakes, and I've checked and checked and checked and checked and checked. But I can't 100% guarantee that there aren't still tiny errors in that data. And when I come to analyse the data, I kind of know what I want to prove. And that's the problem. You kind of go into it thinking, yeah, can I prove what I want to prove? And actually, I might be missing the big elephant in the room, or I might not be that intelligent enough to actually realise what the data is saying. And so I might make wrong conclusions. So I talk about my research, but actually, all sort of science and research has exactly the same problems. It's not just that I'm a bit of an idiot. The drive as well to make an ambition in the career for yourself is very strong as well, in that, you know, I do want to build my name for myself and make a career for myself, and there's a great desire, no matter how much I want to do this with integrity and honesty, and I, you know, I am doing that, there's a great temptation to fiddle the figures, or to say, that child's results are a bit, we won't include them because, and you can put up a good excuse not to include them, but really you're doing it because of that old phrase from Mark Twain, that there are lies, damn lies, and statistics, and never is that more true than in science. And if you think, you know, I'm exaggerating that, in the last 2 years, there are at least two consultants who work in Sheffield in medical research that have been severely disciplined for either A, fiddling the figures, one person invented patients because they hadn't got enough to get the results they wanted, and another one, the way that they did the research was thought to be unethical. So people do it because it brings in money and it brings in reputation. The other thing that is a slight problem with science in the way that I see it is some people expect it to do things that it is never, ever, ever going to be able to do. And that's because the purpose of science, as far as I see it, is to answer certain questions, which is how, when, why are, sort of why are leaves green, for example, or what sort of questions. And that's really what science can answer, and it can answer well. But what it doesn't answer are the sort of questions of by whom, or for what purpose, why does that happen? And yet you see some scientists who will say things like, I see the evidence for evolution here. I can see the fossil records. I can see this. I can see that. I can look in the lab at microorganisms. Therefore, God doesn't exist. And actually, what you find is that here are the facts that they're reporting, but over here is a statement that is completely unrelated to what they've seen. And they're really entering into the realms of theology or philosophy. And I think as scientists, we have a duty to look at the facts and report them honestly, and interpret them honestly, and stop there. Look at the facts, report the facts, and leave the rest to somebody else. Don't make big jumps that you can't actually justify from the data. And so, for me, the purpose of faith and religion, because I am a Christian, is really to answer the questions that science can't. And those sort of questions are the ones that I've said. So, you know, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of the Big Bang, for example? What's the purpose of evolution? What's my purpose? And why? Who is arranging all of that? I think it's also true that scientists, and some people claim that science can prove that God doesn't exist, and I don't think that's true at all. Science never has been able to prove that God doesn't exist, and it never will. And in the same way, science never will prove that God does exist. It never has, and it never will. And even if you look at some of the celebrated sort of scientists of our kind of generation and time, and you look at Stephen Hawking as an example of one, he's a man who, as far as I'm aware, doesn't believe. But in the last chapter of his book, A Brief History of Time, it's quite hard getting there, I have to be honest. But if you have insomnia, get a prescription. It's really good. And he states in the last chapter that, you know, there are all these theories and there are all these equations, but it doesn't answer why the universe exists. And he talks that actually, you know, God fills that void and will provide that explanation. Science never will answer those sort of questions. And even if you look at Richard Dawkins, who's everybody's favourite atheist of the day, you know, he says that, you know, science can't prove the existence or disprove the existence of God. In his mind, he says, you look at all of the evidence, and the probability, in his opinion, and it is just an opinion, that God exists is so small that he's taken that leap of faith and said that God doesn't exist. But that's what it is. It's a leap of faith. It's a belief. It's not actually proven scientifically. So what's religion's role and what's science's role? Is religion anti-science? Well, I don't think so, but then I'm biased because I'm a scientist and I'm a Christian. So of course I'm going to say that. But for me, you know, I do know God. And I know God because primarily I study the Bible. And I pray, and I walk with God. That's a bit of a kind of a buzz phrase, you know. I have a relationship, and I learn things about him through the way that I live my life. But it's also true that science teaches me a huge amount about God, and that's what really kind of excites me in my job. So, you know, philosophically, I believe that God exists. I believe that Jesus is God. That's a given. And I believe that God created everything. And in the Bible, Colossians 1, it says, by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they're thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And when we say for him, you kind of think, what does that really mean? I don't know. But in Psalms 19, it says that the heavens, so obviously something that God has made, the sky, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands, and so it goes on. So clearly the things that God has created tell us something about who he is and his purpose. And that's kind of what excites me about science, is actually then it's not completely disassociated from my faith. It actually tells me more of who God is, and I learn a huge amount about God through what I see around us and through what I see and learn within us as well. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that science isn't going to throw us a few googlies every now and again. We'll occasionally see something that, you know, really challenges your faith or really makes you question things, and you kind of think, how does that fit in? And I think in that situation, I have a responsibility, firstly, to look at the evidence, the science that's thrown up this sort of idea and this concept, and to say, do you know what? I know what my research is like. Is the question valid? Did they do the methods correctly? Did they actually collect the data properly? And have they made the right conclusion? And if it's science like he is in this book, I've got no chance of answering those questions at all, because I'm just not clever enough. But if you can, more often than not, I think you're going to get the answer, no, that science is a bit naff. Probably they didn't do things right, maybe they didn't, I'm not entirely sure. And in that situation, part of science is about, can somebody else reproduce those results? So we need to wait and see what other people find. Can they also demonstrate that that is true? But in the situation that might happen every now and again where actually something really does challenge your faith, then I think my next responsibility would be to go back to the Bible and say, am I interpreting the Bible right? Now, that's not heresy for any of you who think that my kind of faith is, you know, I kind of change things as and when it comes along. It's not at all, because if you look at the New Testament, throughout the whole of the New Testament, Jesus is going to people that think they know God really well and says, don't quite know that well, try thinking about it in this way instead. You know, there's loads in the New Testament about that. You only have to read something like the Sermon on the Mount, which I'd really recommend as one of my favourite parts. And clearly he says, you're not thinking about this right, think about it in a different way. That doesn't mean that God is changing or anything like that. An American evangelist I heard once said, you know, God doesn't violate his word, but he will violate our understanding of his word. By that I mean, you know, God doesn't change. You know, he doesn't kind of, oh, this is the evidence, so I'm going to suddenly be like this. No, he doesn't change all that, but he will change our understanding of who he is and how he works. And I think that can be quite exciting when you marry science and religion together. So, kind of in summary, science and faith and Christianity are very different things. Faith talks about why are, what purpose, by whom. And science answers those questions of what, when, how, why, as well. And the kind of the best analogy I can kind of think about this is, it's a bit like a railroad track, like train track, where you get one rail here that's sort of faith and Christianity, and one rail here that's science. Okay, and they're very different things with different purpose. But actually, if you want your train to move a long way, and if you want to go on that journey to learn more about God and who he is, you kind of need both rails to get there. And you will see situations where one rail will try and come across to the other one. So science will try and say, you know, God doesn't exist. But as I've mentioned, that doesn't work. And similarly, you'll find times when people with the best of intentions, in my view, who are good, strong Christians, will try and shoehorn in something that isn't scientific and claim it is scientific to sort of justify some interpretation of the Bible they have. And when one railroad tries to come this way and the other tries to go that way, then the train's only going to derail, is the only way I can kind of phrase it. So I think we need to accept that they both do different jobs and very important jobs, but they're complementary and they work together very well. Now, normally when you get talks about science and faith, there's a lot on sort of evolution and, you know, the Big Bang theory and things like that. And I've purposely not talked about those things in great detail because, A, I'm not an expert in that, I'm a medic, so, you know, I make cups of tea for crying parents and hand out tissues and things like that in clinic, that's what I do. So I'm not an expert on those things, but also it's a great distraction because you'll never find the answer to the question, does God exist and who is God, by sticking your head in the Hadron Collider or by going to the Galapagos Islands and looking at tortoises. You won't find the answer to those questions by doing those things. You just won't, I'm sorry. And I've lost from my phone now, I was thinking of a big tortoise. So I haven't talked about that because they are distractions. If you really want to know those questions, if you're thinking about, you know, the truth and where does Jesus fit in, is he truth, actually what you need to do is to go back to the beginning, as I did when I was a teenager and I was in my 20s, of thinking, okay, number one, what is the evidence, so scientifically, archaeologically, even literature, that Jesus actually existed and walked on the earth? What's the evidence that he actually died on a cross? And by that I mean, did he actually die? What's the evidence that his body was put in a tomb and then disappeared? You know, what happened to the body? What happened to the guardsmen who kind of ran away? You know, why did you have this bunch of people who were quite frightened and were pretty hopeless when he was alive, who suddenly changed and actually were prepared to be tortured and died, believing that they'd seen him after he died? You know, why did that happen? And did he actually rise from the dead, and was he resurrected? And that's where we'll find the answer to the questions of, is Jesus true, rather than looking at evolution and things like that. And there are good books, I've brought one on the table over there, that I think is quite good if you're science-minded, that looks at those sort of evidence. And by looking at that, those sort of questions, I came sort of to faith and to accept that, yeah, I am a scientist, and there are some things that seem a little bit odd about faith, you know, about somebody coming back from the dead and walking on water and things, but actually I do believe that's true, and I believe that true not because of some airy-fairy kind of idea, because I think I have actually looked at the evidence. And one of the things that I think about in my work as a scientist and how I interpret results, but I've also used in the way that I look at faith and philosophy and those sort of things, is that phrase that I love that Sherlock Holmes said. I'm a bit of a sad, geeky detective buff, which will appear on the next CV Tim does of me. But Sherlock Holmes said the phrase that when you remove the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. And so, As I summarise and finish, my thoughts have been, science does have a different role from religion. They are different, but they're complementary. And there is a truth out there, and if you study that truth, or when I studied the truth, the only answer that I could see was that the truth was that Jesus was the Son of God, and he did die and was resurrected again. And that one fact has ultimately changed my life.